I just, real quick, I want to start off like this. So yesterday I was sitting there, come here, Joshua. I was sitting on the couch and Josh was asking me what I was doing. I said, I just kind of reading over my notes and praying and thinking about the service tomorrow. And he goes, what are you preaching on? I said, praying. And he says, I love to pray. And he says, can we pray for the church? I said, absolutely. So we stopped and we prayed for the church. And I said, hey, you want to pray for the church tomorrow? And he says, yeah. So Josh is going to come. He, if you don't know it, he has gone through all kinds of stuff lately. And tomorrow we are going to go to St. Louis. And he's going to have a lot of tests. He's got a mass on his brain. But you guys have been praying for him, and he wants to pray for you. So I want to be a blessing and let him do that for you guys.
Hello, guys.
Thank you, buddy. You can go back with Mom. I tell you what, that little boy right there has totally rocked my faith. I mean, he is a prayer warrior. I showed him a picture of one of his little buddies that got in an accident yesterday, got his head cut open. He's seen it, and I said, man, Jaden got a cut and had to go to get stitches. He said, can we pray for him? So we stopped and prayed. And then later that afternoon, he says, Dad, can we call Jaden and see how he's doing? I mean, his heart is so big and so loving. And sometimes I just see things like that. We see things like that. And we say that we're praying, or we say that we are with our heart loving people. But I'm telling you, sometimes I don't know that our actions are showing it. And he challenges me to make sure that my actions are showing it. When I say I pray for somebody, let's stop and let's pray for them. And it's been exciting to go through this, like these parables, and to start studying for them. And the more you study them, the more like my heart just has been burdened for our church. There's so much, like our church is like right here, and there's so much awesome stuff going on. And, like, we're at this point where I think God is just getting ready to do even bigger, more awesome things with the Road Church. And it begins with this. I think it begins totally with us surrendering, giving ourselves to the Lord, and just being faithful in praying. I got a note this week. The first page I couldn't read, because it was in Spanish. But I want to read it to you guys. If I can open it. It says, hello, good morning. My name is Anna, and I'm a missions leader of Jesus Anna Church in Guadalajara, Mexico. As a church, we want to thank you guys, for your love for mission works. By supporting us in prayer and economically, I want to let you know that this loving offering you gave us will be a great blessing for every child and adult in our church, since we will use it to buy educational materials and each child, as well as to improve the facilities of our church. We are very grateful, and I want to let you know that we will use every penny with responsibility to spread the kingdom of God. We are praying for you, or your team, and your church, and Pastor Mike, who has been a great blessing to us. That is awesome. There is a church plant in Mexico praying for a church plant in Missouri. We have a small little part of that. And when we went down there this last year, we got to see that there was like 7 more churches being planted out of this one church. Why? Because of faithful people who are giving, who are praying, and God is blessing. And to me, that is awesome. That's what it's about. When we get to the point where we're setting aside, hey, you know what? There might be some tough questions when it comes to the budget. There might be some tough things when you start structuring things. But you know what? Who cares about that stuff? It has to be done. But the big picture stuff is this. It's done for the gospel. It's done for the gospel. It's done for the furthering the kingdom, to share, to love. This morning we're going to be looking at a parable. And this parable is a parable that just kind of really, as you start to read it, you begin to think, man, am I like that? Am I challenged like that? We're going to be looking at the parable of persistent woman. And I came across this story, and it goes like this. Johnny was a very bright 5-year-old, and he told his daddy he'd like to have a baby brother. Along with his requests and offerings to do whatever he could to help. His dad was a bright 35-year-old and paused for a moment and then replied, "I tell you what, Johnny, if you pray every day for 2 months for a baby brother, I guarantee you that God will give you one." Johnny responded eagerly to his dad's challenge and went to his bedroom early that night and started praying for a baby brother. He prayed every night for a whole month. But after that time, he began to get skeptical. He checked around the neighborhood and found out that what he thought was going on was not going to actually happen. And this had never occurred in the history of his neighborhood. You don't just pray for 2 months and then whammo, a new baby brother. So Johnny quit praying. After another month, Johnny's mother went to the hospital, and when she came back home, Johnny's parents called him into the bedroom. He cautiously walked into the room, not expecting to find anything, and there was a little bundle of joy laying right next to his mother. His dad pulled back the blankets, and there was not only one, but 2 baby brothers. His mother had twins. Johnny's dad looked down at him and said, "Now, aren't you glad you prayed?" And Johnny hesitated for a little bit, and then he looked up at his dad and said, "Yes, aren't you glad I quit when I did?" There's a lot in that little story. How often do we see something and we want to begin to pray for it, but then you don't see the answers and we don't see the results right away, and we quit praying? We're going to be in Luke chapter 18, and we're going to be in verses 1 through it. If you have your Bibles or a Bible app, I'd encourage you to open it and read along with me. But it says this, it says, "And he," Jesus, "told them," his disciples, "a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward, he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give us justice to his elect? who cry to him daily, day and night, he will delay long over them. Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? First thing I want you to see this morning is this. We have to learn to pray and not give up. Little Johnny got all excited about something, and he wanted them now. And when he found out that this isn't typically the way that a parent or mother has a baby, you pray for it, and whammo, 2 months later, you have a baby, he lost faith in it. He quit praying. The very first lesson in this parable, Jesus tells us that we need to always pray and not to give up. Luke 18:1 says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. I would ask you this morning. Is there something in your life that you wanted so bad, or something that you've been praying for and it didn't come true? God didn't answer that question or that prayer right away, and you quit praying for it? I'm telling you this. As I read that scripture, it says, always be praying. Stop stopping. We got to be faithful. We have to be those people who are willing to, even through the times where we don't see it, be continually praying. We might not understand why God is not answering questions right now, why God isn't putting things in place right now, but we got to know that our God is in control. And our God hears our prayers. We see over and over again where people throughout the Bible that people pray to God and he hears their prayers over and over and over. And it says this in James 5:16, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Matthew 21:22 says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believe you'll receive. 1 John 5:14-15 says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked him. Over and over and over again in Scripture, we see people coming to the Lord, asking, and he answering. He hears us. He hears our prayers. That should give us that confidence in praying. To know that no matter what, God, the creator of this world, the creator of all things, is hearing your prayers and my prayers. And he wants to do something. He wants to petition to you. He wants, if it's the right prayers, the prayers of his will. We can't just be praying for new Lamborghinis or, you know, stuff like that. What's his will? What's his will for each one of you? What's his desire for each one of you? What's his desire for me? To love our God with our whole heart, our soul, and our mind. when we do that, what happens? We have this burden to go and share and tell. So what happens? He's glorified. People come to know the saving grace of God and the work at the cross. Because why? Because we're asking and we're praying for those conversations. We're asking and we're praying to be put in places where we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to be that group of people. We have to be willing to be used. In this parable, the woman's odds are stacked against her. But she didn't give up. Her case was in a corrupt court, in a corrupt judicial system. If you look at the chapters before Luke 18, you get this picture of doom and gloom and all these warnings of sudden disaster and gruesome death and corruption. And then you get into 18, and the very first thing you read is this: pray not to lose your heart, and not lose heart. In the verse, Jesus sets the scene of this is like an important city, and we got to catch this when he says a certain city. What was this certain city that he was talking about? He's speaking about the great Sanhedrin. What was the great Sanhedrin? It was the court in which would later put him to death. It was so corrupt, they heard his case. So getting justice in this court was unlikely. But what happened? This lady did not give up. She's kind of like my wife sometimes. Stubborn and hard-headed. I'm glad she's walking away. She didn't hear that. But she don't give up. She is persistent. We have to be that way in our prayers. We have to be stubborn and hard-headed and not giving up. Second, don't lose faith and give up. Like in this story, Johnny was told that things don't work that way. You just don't pray a baby brother. The lady in this parable was told by the judge that he didn't care about people or the law. He was out for himself. She essentially was told things were not going to work out the way that you think it's going to work out. Have you ever been told that you cannot do something or something cannot work and you quit thinking about it or even praying about it? I wonder how many unanswered prayers there are because we quit thinking about them because we thought it wouldn't work out. My wife and I and the youth, we prayed this weekend or on Wednesday night about what does youth ministry look like in the future? What's it look like? How can you effectively reach the youth of today? You look around and most youth have phones and they're into technology. And what's the first thing we tell them to do when they come to a church? Put your phone up. And they're all looking at me now and saying, I don't have mine out. What's it look like when we come alongside them, loving on them, using what God has given them to be able to minister to them? We can't give up on them. Just because they're different, we can't give up on the next generation. Just because they don't learn the same way, we can't give up on them. What are those things in your guys' lives that you have given up on because you don't think it can work? What are those things that are just burdening you that you really love to go and do or be able to say, God, allow me to do this, but you're just scared of doing it? because you don't think it'll work out. Let me tell you this. This lady had the odds stacked against her, but by coming over and over and over before the judge, she finally got the result that she was wanting. We have to be willing to say, God, here I am. Use me. I'm going to step out in faith. We're told that the injustice that has taken place to her, someone had to have defrauded her, and that she was trying to seek justice. We have to see that this lady, the background of this lady, and this lady was a lady that didn't have a husband, who didn't have a father, or any brothers, or a brother-in-law, or a cousin, or any close, distant male relatives. And she didn't let it stop her. Because in the courts at this time, if you had a male in your life, they were to go to the court. They would petition for you. The odds were stacked against her. For her to go to the court on her own meant that this lady was desperate. This lady was seeking justice. And Jesus builds on this story because this, the Old Testament laws would have been cut and dry. The judge would have had to do something purely on the grounds of mercy. Isaiah 1:17 says, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. This woman's odds were stacked against her, but in verse 3, we are told, and there was a widow in the city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice. She kept coming to him. Just as we need to keep coming before our Father in heaven, God hears our prayers, just as the judge kept hearing her. The difference is we have a loving God who is looking out for us and wants the best for us. We're not going before a corrupt judge pleading our case. We're going before a holy and righteous judge. Totally different. The odds are stacked in our favor. Lastly, we have to remember we have an all-knowing God. Little Johnny didn't know that his parents knew that they were going to have a baby. What did his dad say? Pray for 2 months. We all know it takes 9. 2 months later, what happened? Whammo, a baby. So obviously, the father was knowing. But Johnny didn't know. We come before God praying that God knows our hearts. He knows our desires. We have to be praying for his will to be done. The verse where we're told to pray and we will receive, we are told if it's in his will. So what are we supposed to be praying? His will. See, this parable is a continuation from chapter 17 about the horrific judgment. Chapter 17, verse 26 says this. It says, just as it happened in the days of Noah, What happened in the days of Noah? Judgment. Then in verses 28 in chapter 17 it says, and the same in the days of Lot. What happened in the days of Lot? Judgment. Wicked people doing whatever they wanted and worshiping everything but God. Luke is painting this picture of Christ's return. The judgment that is to come. Just because there was a break in the chapter between 17 and 18, as we dig into this scripture, Jesus, there's not a stopping point. Jesus is still addressing the same audience in verses in chapter 17 as he is addressing in 18. So we get this picture of this judgment, and then as we get this parable, we're seeing that it's not only about praying for us and coming to the Lord, it's about being prepared for judgment. The point of this parable is that the world seems to be growing wicked, and we cannot trust the judicial system. We cannot put our trust into anything but Christ. We are to be praying and not losing heart. The world may be seeming like it's out of control. Things may seem like they're out of control in your life, but we can't lose heart. The term lose heart in the Greek text means this: giving up from exhaustion, or even worse, turning coward. Paul uses this term 5 times, and all 5 times he uses it, he tells the readers not to give up because Jesus is coming. At the end, Jesus says in verse 8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is what I'm talking about. The second coming. And are we praying faithfully and continually for the day when Christ returns for his people? Will he find faith on earth? We are to be praying for the day. Knowing the end of the story gives us this. Gives us confidence. That allows us to live our lives daily. Like Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Because we know the story, we should long for the second coming. We should be praying and pleading for that day that Christ will be glorified. We should be excited. We should be a church that is on the move, a church, a people group that is willing to go and share and tell and be praying and doing whatever we can so that others are prepared for that judgment. Because there's one thing for certain, judgment is coming. And judgment is coming for all. So one of the big lessons here is we have to learn to pray. Not give up. Not to lose faith and give up. We have to know that we serve an all-knowing God who is in control. And we cannot give up faith. We have to be willing. We have to be understanding. We have to know the scriptures. We have to know what Jesus is up to. And when we feel like the deck is stacked against us, we have to be able to say, I'm going to march on. I'm going to continue on. I'm going to continue to pray, even when it isn't cool to pray. Even when it's hard to pray for that person. Even when you've been praying for years and you haven't got the answers that you want. One, we're told God hears. But we're told that we've got to be always praying and not losing faith. Today, have we lost faith? Have you lost your faith in praying? What's your prayer life look like? I am blessed. I got a wife that loves to pray for our kids. I love it at night when my kids say, Dad, will you come and pray with us? And I get to go pray with each and every one of them. And then I say, do you want to pray? And they want to pray. I'm like, Josh, he prays for the church and he prays for people. And I'm like, holy smokes, he's 8. But he has faith in his prayers. Do you have faith in your prayers? As a church, as an individual, we have to continue to go over and over and over and over again before the God who loves you, the God who created the universe, petitioning what's on our heart and allowing God to hear our prayers if we're expecting them to be answered. You can't just say, hey, I'm praying for you, and then quit praying. We have to continually pray until we see an answer to that. We have to continually be in prayer for people and for things that are taking place that we're able to share God's love with people in. We have to always be praying, looking for ways to share God's love with those around us. The odds may be stacked against us. Or you may feel the odds are stacked against you. But I'm telling you today, they're stacked in favor for us because I've read the end of the book and we win. So today I just want to have a time of prayer. I want us to pray as a church. I want us to pray crazy prayers right now. Think of those things that you have quit praying about and let's start praying for them today. Share that with other people that's sitting around you. What crazy things have you quit praying for because you've lost faith? I ask you, if you've lost faith, repent and say, God, I believe, and begin to trust and say, wow, that vision he gave me once, we can do this. Let's start praying. So I ask today, church, will you join with me in praying? Having faith that God hears our prayers? Knowing that he's going to answer? It might not be the way that we expect, but he knows what's best for us. What kind of crazy dreams, what kind of crazy things have not happened in your life because you quit praying? Let's pray for those today. I don't know what that looks like with you guys. I don't even know what it looks like in this service. I would love to see people joining together right now, praying for one another, lifting each other up. I know that sounds uncomfortable and weird to some people, and they're like, uh-oh, Mike's going to make me stand up and swap sides and do all this crazy mumbo jumbo. And yes, I was going to do that, but I figured, nah. Unless you guys want to, I'm down. It's up to you. But during this invitation, I would love to see nothing more than people praying. And I ask you this. If you never prayed to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you pray that today. and believe that Jesus Christ died, he was born a virgin, he lived a sinless life, he died on the cross for your sins, and he just didn't die, he rose 3 days later, and now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. If you've never prayed that prayer, I'd ask you today, that today would be a day that you pray to accept that. Today I would ask, maybe you've lost faith. Pray to receive that back. And pray the craziest things that God can do for our church. Because I'm excited. I think that God is up to big, awesome things. And it's going to take us doing, praying big, awesome prayers. If we just continue to pray small little prayers, guess what? We're going to receive small, awesome blessings. But if we pray some crazy, awesome prayers, and God, it's God's will, the sky is unlimited. What can God do in each and every one of your guys' life? What can God do when he puts a group of amazing, awesome people together that love him and are called for his purpose to glorify him? What could he do with that? He could change the world. And it can happen. So I pray today that we begin to pray like that. Let's pray. Father God, you're an amazing God. I just pray right now for this time. I pray that we would just take some time and we would just repent. We would seek you. We would follow you. We would trust you. We would begin to have that faith. To knowing that you are in control. Knowing that you have a plan for each and every one of us. Knowing that we can trust you. Father, I pray right now, if there's one that doesn't know you today, I pray that they would come to the saving knowledge of you. Pray if one has lost faith, that they would just turn and see that you're there. I pray if we have given up on dreams and prayers, Father, because you haven't answered, I pray that you would just answer them today. Father, I pray that you'd give us a burden to go and share, to be your witnesses. I pray that you would just use our church. I pray that you would just break us as individuals and separate all those things that are keeping us from giving our hearts to you and giving our lives to you. Father God, thank you. We'll give you the honor and the glory and the praise. Amen. I'm going to be up here. I would love to pray with you guys. Dave will be up here. John, love to pray with you. If you'd love to come and pray with us, you're more than welcome. But I also encourage you to do this. Grab your wife, grab your friends, grab whoever's around you. Your neighbor that you don't even know who's sitting next to you. And pray together. Sharing one another's burdens. Lifting each other up.